Good morning. For those of you who were not here last week, Happy New Year. I know it's a week already, but still feels like it's new. New to me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We can come to you just as we are.
Yeah.
This morning, we don't have to try to be something that we're not. Lord, we are accepted in you, the Beloved. We thank you, Lord, your shed blood has opened the way for us to come to God, even that we can know God face to face. Lord, this morning, be with us. Comfort those who need to be comforted. Challenge those of us who need to be challenged. And Lord, maybe if we're too comfortable, make us uncomfortable. Lord, we need you.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for your word that we read this morning.
Yeah.
May it affect our hearts.
Amen.
And change us.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, last week and this week, we have kind of 2 weeks, kind of same, similar thought. And that is, God is doing some changing work. God's purpose is not just to give you a good life. God's work is to change you. And last week we saw God doing something in the book of Mark with this man by the name of Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. And as Nigel brought out last week, his name is mentioned. You know, there's a lot of people in the New Testament who got healed and their names are not mentioned. But his name is mentioned probably because people could talk to him afterwards. Tell us what your experience was as a follower of Christ. What happened? Tell us about it. So Bartimaeus, we could say, was at the bottom end of the social scale. No, at that time, they didn't have a social safety net like what we have today. He was blind and hence unemployable. And therefore, a beggar. He lived by begging. This week, we're going to come to a different person who also has a name, Zacchaeus. And he is on the other end of the social scale. He is a very rich man. Now, hopefully, he didn't have American dollars. He had whatever they had. So these two examples are interesting, showing us two extremes, and yet God comes with his salvation to both of these people. I think it's probably safe to say we appreciate a little bit more Bartimaeus than we appreciate Zacchaeus. Am I right? We'll find out. We'll find out. Okay, let's begin read the reading from, this is from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. As a chief tax collector, that means he's at the top of all the tax collectors. You know, it's kind of like the CEO of tax collectors, right? And probably what it means is all the tax collectors got money and then gave it to him. So he didn't have to do the dirty work, but he reaped the rewards of other people's dirty work. He was rich. And this is the important verse, not the verse two. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they, the crowd, saw it, they all grumbled. He, Jesus, has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Okay. He's a chief tax collector. As we mentioned, just like Bartimaeus, he has a name, Zacchaeus, and his name is mentioned, which probably means going forward that he also became a follower of Jesus and was part of the Christian community and known by others. Otherwise, there's no need to mention his name. And so people could come to him afterwards, years later, say, Zacchaeus, what was it like sitting in that tree? But what's striking is in this verse 3, as we mentioned, he's a seeker. Zacchaeus was seeking not just to know about Jesus. Obviously, he had heard about Jesus already. But he wanted to not just know about Jesus, he wanted to see him. That means he wanted to meet him. There's something that riches did not satisfy him. There was something more, and he was seeking Jesus, willing to climb up in a tree. By the way, have you ever seen a rich man in a tree? Isn't that really undignified? Extremely undignified. This shows his desperation. He was desperate to see Jesus, even to the point he was willing to lay aside his dignity, crawl up into a tree. I mean, it's okay for kids to crawl in trees, but for an adult, a chief tax collector, a rich man, it's like Bill Gates crawling up into a tree trying to see things as people are walking by. It's kind of strange. But he wanted something more. He wanted to see Jesus. He was desperate. And at the same time, he's despised. He is despised. Why? Because he got wealthy on the backs of other people. And what was usually the case, because tax collectors were employees of the Roman government taxing the people that the Roman government had conquered, they were very despised. And it was not uncommon for the tax collectors to be Jews who were taxing their own people, getting money for the Roman government, but pocketing a lot for themselves. So it was very fraudulent. Therefore, of course, if somebody came knocking on your door asking for money for the government, but asking a lot because they wanted some for themselves, you would despise them too, wouldn't you? Today we have basically an honest revenue system, Canada Revenue Agency, right? Basically, it's. And that day was not that way at all. Very unrighteous, very fraudulent. So he's despised by the majority. Maybe he's admired by other tax collectors because he really made it. So sometimes we appreciate wealthy people, sometimes we don't appreciate wealthy people. Sometimes we appreciate wealthy people because, wow, they really are successful. But generally speaking, we don't. Especially when they get their money in unrighteous means and ways. What's striking also in this passage, it says Jesus, when he gets there, and when you read this whole thing, you realize, well, this feels like it's staged, right? Jesus gets to the tree, Jesus looks up, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. I'm inviting myself to your house. It's not a request. It's a must. I must stay at your house today. Get down out of that tree. Hurry. Now. We're going to your place. Jesus was not invited. Jesus invited himself. Well, let's read the last three verses in this chapter. In this section, verses 8 through 10. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." One thing that this brief 10 verses does not tell us specifically is whether Zacchaeus believed in the Lord or not. But we have the evidence of his belief, and that is his response. Firstly, he received him joyfully. He received him joyfully into his house. Now you think about this. Here is Zacchaeus. And based on what he says here in this section, if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. That basically implies that he did. He did defraud people. Now you think about this. If this defrauder has Jesus, who knows everything, come to his house, and yet he's joyful, something has transpired in this man. Something has changed. He's changed. Why? Because of Jesus. Jesus has come. He's affected by it. What is the second thing? He's received him. He's then welcomed him. Secondly, there's implication of repentance. Repentance is here. How? "Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor." There's a change. Repentance is a change of heart. By giving to the poor and restoring four times what he defrauded. Now, I like to say this, because this part could be misunderstood. This story, this illustration, this narrative could be misunderstood. How could it be misunderstood? It could be misunderstood that because Zacchaeus gave half his possessions to the poor and that he restored fourfold what he had defrauded, it could be misunderstood that because of that, Zacchaeus was saved. But that's not how you should read this and understand this. If that is the case, then salvation is by works, and that's it. How do we know this from this little brief section? It's because Jesus says and calls him, what? A son of Abraham. What's significant about being a son of Abraham? It's not just that you're a Jew. No. In the New Testament sense, it is that you are a person of faith. Abraham is the father of faith. Zacchaeus becomes a son of Abraham by faith. His giving to the poor, his restoring fourfold, is evidence of his salvation. It is not his salvation. Jesus, his encounter with Jesus changed him to the point that he could let go of his riches. willingly. In the supplementary material, you can see there's other cases where people were rich and Jesus said, give it up, and they couldn't. But in this case, no. This man had an encounter with Jesus to the point that he could say, I let my money go. I let it go. A real encounter with Jesus brings salvation and brings a changed heart. Formerly, he had a lust for money. Now, he can give it away. Formerly, he just cared about himself. Now, he cares for the poor. This is a change of heart through his meeting Jesus. And then Jesus ends this passage that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, I come back to this point. Do you like Bartimaeus more or do you like Zacchaeus more? And maybe it's a tough question. Maybe it's not easy to answer. Why may we have difficulty with Zacchaeus? I will say this. If we do not have a clear realization, understanding of what the gospel is, even though Zacchaeus is now saved, we may still hold it against him for his past. Do you follow me? We're okay with Bartimaeus because he's just poor. He didn't defraud us. He's just a poor man. But Zacchaeus, we hold his pre-salvation life against him. That's not the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is, as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sin from us. That's the gospel. The gospel is God forgives. I'll give you another illustration. You read Isaiah chapter 1. This is striking. In Isaiah chapter 1, he says what? Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Scarlet is red, right? What is red? Blood is red. Actually, in this chapter, if you read a few verses earlier, that was verse 18. What is God saying in Isaiah? You may be a murderer, but I will forgive you and make you clean. That's hard for us to handle. That's hard for us to handle. That's the gospel. So we sang this song, this last song we sang this morning, Come As You Are. You don't have to clean yourself up, then come to Jesus. That is not the gospel. The gospel is come as you are. Believe. Repent. And Jesus will change you, make your life different. That's the gospel. Come as you are. Whatever that is. If you're a blind beggar, or if you are a rich person who has accumulated your rich fraudulently. No difference in God's eyes. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, those who were lost. This is the gospel. We often have, sometimes we, if we've been on the clean side of the cloth, we feel good about ourselves. If we come from the dirty side of the cloth, maybe we don't feel so good about ourselves. And sometimes those people appreciate God's salvation more. But the problem is, if we're from the clean side, we despise those who have had a dark past. My question to you this morning is, do you know, understand, and appreciate the gospel that God has given us in Christ? He has come to change our lives and to cause us to change our attitudes, number one, to change our actions so that we live differently. We begin to live not for ourselves anymore, we begin to live for others. We let go of things for the sake of others, to serve others. Well, this morning we're going to do a little bit like we did last week. Ian's going to come up and do the second part. And so I'm turning it over to him. Kind of an abrupt change, right? He can handle it, right?
He can handle it. I so appreciate what Del shared this morning, because so often we are unclear about the gospel. You know, I'll come back to that in a second, but in April of 2015, this church began to move in a new direction. But what was precious about this was that this was not a top-down, the leaders in this church are telling everybody else what we're going to do. We asked 80-plus people who are regular among us to come and help us discern what is the direction for this church. And out of it, we got Vision 2020. Some of you have heard this before, but it's the beginning of the new year, and we wanted to give you an update. It's actually been 20 months, if my math is correct. Bob, am I? I'm all right. I always check with Bob, because he's the mathematician. I'm not. And so, out of that time of discerning, we got 16 points. And if you've ever seen this booklet, you know the 16 points are in here. And I just want to briefly just kind of go through, and then I want to hit on something at the end where we feel our focus needs to be in 2017. Our number one point, well, one of the 16 was to be gospel-centered. What you heard this morning is being gospel-centered. That is, getting clear that we are not here based on what we do, we are here based on God's grace. Amen? Amen. Yes. That's the gospel. And what have we seen in this past 20 months? We have seen people give their lives to Jesus. We have seen people be baptized. And we hope to see many, many more in 2017. Second thing that we have on our list of fundamentals is to have a deep understanding of the Bible. For those of you who've been with us for the last, let's say, 6 months, you know we just finished a study of the book of Revelation. How many of you, okay, let's say you're, I mean, this is not my first church. I mean, the Lord brought me here. How many of you have ever studied the book of Revelation before? Yeah, very few. You know what happened when we went through it here? We didn't just skate on the surface. We gave you the very best of what is available today in terms of understanding of that book. I can tell you this from myself and Dell and Nigel, as we prepare every single week for these messages, we are doing our very, very best to present a message that the youngest can understand, the oldest can understand, and is applicable to all. That's not simple. But we work very, very hard to give you a deeper understanding of the Bible. And as we go forward in 2017, we're about to launch next week. We're going to start a brand new series. It's called Anchored: Truth in Changing Times. You don't want to miss it. We're going to wrestle with what it is, what is our faith, and what are the changing times that we are in that challenge that kind of faith. So one of our big goals is help everyone here to have a deeper understanding of the Bible. And I believe that that is already happening. Number three, value and practice prayer. Prayer is always going on in churches. But as a church community, because of Vision 2020 and what came out of that, here's what we've seen. We've seen a number of brothers and sisters gather together to begin prayer ministry, not just here and there. So this meeting right now, do you realize it's bookended by prayer? At 9 o'clock in the morning, there are people here already who are praying for what's going to go on this morning. And when this meeting ends, there will be people who are praying for you. And if you have any concerns or any troubles or any struggles that you're going through, or you just need prayer for yourself or your family members, there's a room right back here you can go to. We never had this before. This is what has happened since Vision 2020 has come, since we've started. Now, you may feel like, you know, Ian, I love to pray. Please get involved. Maybe you're not available at 9 o'clock, but maybe you can help there, or maybe you can help out in some other way. I wanted to leave those points for a second and just hit on two highlights that we have seen since we've started implementing this vision. Number one is this. We have a more meaningful community presence. And I have a slide up on the screen for you. Some of you have heard us talk about this in the past. It's called Matthew House. This is an organization, a Christian organization, a faith-based Christian organization that we are partnering with. They welcome in refugees. These are not refugees like you saw just a little while ago where the government is saying, hey, come on in, we're going to take care of you. These are people who land on our shores and say, I claim refugee status. And it's a lot of uncertainty for them. They have to go through a test and make sure they really are what they say they are. We have been partnering with them for a while. And you know what? This is new for us. You should be excited that the church that you're part of isn't just concerned about itself, but it's actually concerned with reaching out outside its walls to help others. Just this past weekend, the weekend before, 10 people from here were down at Matthew House providing a meal for the refugees. You know, if your heart is towards that kind of service, you can get involved too. You know, other things that we've done. You notice we've got a Scott Mission box out in the dining area there. You know, we've done clothes drives and baby formula drives. This is all for needy families that are in this city. So I am so happy since Vision 2020 has come on board, or since we've been following this vision the Lord gave us, we are much more concerned with our community than we ever were before. And we should be happy about that. The other highlight I'd like to mention is this. Since Vision 2020, we have seen that God not only initiated this thing, but he's also the provider. So he's the one who gave us the vision in the first place, and then he's the one who starts to provide the means to fulfill the thing. So think about this. When we started to talk about Matthew House, Scott Mission, all these other places, all of a sudden a number of people who were regularly meeting here and were longtime members of this church, all of a sudden realized, that's what I want to do, but had never had the means to do it here. We call that a little unearthing. An unearthing of talents and an unearthing of desire. And now, here, you can have a way to fulfill that. One other area I think has been very, very helpful since Vision 2020 started, and that is our creatives. Our website is the number one way that people get here. You ask people, how did you find out about CIT? I saw it on the web. The second is the sign outside. But our creatives, people, brothers and sisters who are here, they're the ones who made that website. They're the ones who take care of the sign. They're the ones who did this booklet. They're the ones who do your bulletin every week. We should be thankful that we've got an outlet for our creators. They're the ones who make the title slides and all those kind of things for us as we do our series. Let me come back to our fundamentals, or at least our Vision 2020 16 points. I am not going to go through them all, so don't worry. Number four says leadership. Have unified leadership. I want to be very honest with you. We have worked very hard on this. Because it was not only important to God, but we also realized this was important to our members as well. And were there issues among the leaders? Yes, there were. But we have worked on those, and today, by God's grace, we have a unified leadership that is committed to carrying Vision 2020 through. This is how God is practically leading our church today. And so, if God has given us this, this is what we should be doing, right? Yeah. We should not be, you know, thinking of doing something else. Now, are there all kinds of other things that you could be doing? Absolutely. But that's not what God has committed to us. What God has committed to us is what God has committed to us, and we want to be faithful to carry out what he's committed. Now, you might say, well, Ian, I don't resonate with any of these 16 points, and, you know, I don't know where to fit in. Let me be honest with you. You may not fit in here. Let me just say that again. You may not fit in here. And I know you don't hear that from a pulpit that much. But am I saying that you may need to go to another church and find a place to fit in? Yes! I'm not bothered by that at all. Listen, the heart of the leadership here is that every single person would know how God is leading them and be able to carry it out. I don't want you to be here frustrated. Why would I want that? I want the best for you. I want you to be a person who is able to build God's kingdom, further God's kingdom. And if that's not here at CIT, we pray for you and we bless you and we say, go forward and follow the Lord. Is that okay? So don't be offended by what I'm not trying to kick anybody out. All right? Just get clear. We're just saying, if we don't want to frustrate you, and we don't want you to really frustrate us. Have you heard this saying, rowing in the same direction? Bethel, can you bring up? Yeah, that's rowing. Bring up the other one. We don't want this. We're not going anywhere. If that's what's going on. So you know the way that we're headed. It's right here. You don't have to ask questions like, oh, I'm not quite clear what this church is doing. You should be clear. And if you're not, come talk to me. I'll help you get clear. But just know we're interested in people putting in their oars and rowing with us and getting some good momentum in 2017. Last point that I'll make is this. So where are we going now? I'm not covering, as I said, all the points. Where are we going now? I want to talk about the future a little bit. What about 2017? You know, one of the things that point four says is to have unified leadership with a clear direction and two-way communication. We have already started that. Monday night, those of us who are in the leadership, we join together. And what we've been doing is asking different groups to come and talk to us and tell us, hey, what's going on in your ministry field? And so we're there as listeners, we're there as supporters, and we're also there saying, what can we do to help you move forward. Get over some of the obstacles. Recently, we had our children's ministry team in, and we felt this was quite heavy on their heart and on our heart afterwards. They felt that the church needs a change or an adjustment in its culture. And this is with regards to children. You know, our children's service is downstairs. And so, you know, you could get the feeling like we don't really care about children that much. But we do. But they could become like, that's just the kids or it's just babysitting. Not to us. Children's service, kids' ministry is really, really important to us. Let me just show you a quick video just to give you a little bit of an idea. All right. We value kids. Look at these verses from the Gospel of Mark. And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. Okay, we don't want any rebuking of children here unless, like, they're painting on the other, you know, they got stuff on the wall, you know, they're doing that. But these kids just want to come to Jesus. But when Jesus saw it, he was not happy with his own disciples. And he says, let the children come to me. Don't hinder them. Brothers and sisters, that is the heart that we want to have here towards our kids. We want them to be able to come. We want them to be able to feel like this is their community. We don't want them to feel like, oh, they're just relegated to the basement. They're not. They're a vital, valuable, treasured part of this church community. They're not a problem to us. And I love this last verse. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on it. That's the way we should be with our kids. So one of the adjustments we're going to make as we go forward is the last Sunday or the fourth Sunday of every month for the worship time, we're going to have the kids with us. Now, we're still working out what that looks like. And let's be honest, it might be noisy, right? It might be a little, you know, well, you saw the last time my grandbabies, they're just running up and down. It's okay. Don't worry. It's okay. We want them to feel like this is their community. So in a sense, we want to model Jesus to them. We're gonna hit more on this for the next 6 months. So pay attention. How can we help our kids to feel more welcome here? You know, one of the things you can do, say hi to the kids. I know that's a really hard thing, isn't it? Sorry, that was sarcasm, just in case you didn't pick. I'm British. We're masters at sarcasm, so just just say hi to the kids. It's okay. Just greet them, and that's a wonderful thing. Let me give you one practical issue that they're having right now. Every week, the teachers want to be able to show videos to the kids, just to, you know, fill out their time with them, make it as great as they can. But we have a Wi-Fi problem. If you've ever been downstairs, you know we have what kind of walls? Block. So we have a Wi-Fi problem. So if you are able to help, please come and talk to me. We need a solution for this today or within the next week. That's a very practical thing. So children, our kids' ministry is what we want to focus on for this next 6 months. We're working together with the team to see how we can make that the best experience we can for our kids. I'm at 12:03 already, but just let me just say this. Off the kids now, back onto some very practical things that we need. Every week, you get a bulletin. We need more people to help print that thing. Right now, it's all landing on one brother's shoulders. And he's not only taking care of printing, he's also taking care of recording messages. So if you feel like, you know, I know how to print, we got a place for you. Okay, who doesn't know how to print here? Only one person. That's great. We got so many people who could do this. Seriously, I mean, you print all the time. All you gotta do is press a button. It's like, done. Well, it's not done. It takes time. You don't have to worry about designing the thing. You just print and stay there and make sure everything goes, and it's good. Okay, so that's one thing we have. The other is the slides that are coming up here. We have one or two people who are working with us. If you are tech savvy and you want to help us a little bit with those kind of things, hey, okay, let me see. How many of you can push a button? Okay, we got some good. Right, if you can put, listen, seriously, if you, okay, how many of you can push the arrow forward? Okay, that's important. How many of you can press the button backwards? So many candidates. Let me just pray for us. We're thrilled. Honestly, we are thrilled that you're with us. And we want to give you great opportunities to keep moving forward with us. If your life has been changed by Jesus, get more involved. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Find ways to enter in more. Let me just pray for us. Father, thank you so much that when we encounter you, you change our lives. Yeah. You're not just about giving us all kinds of things. You expect that we would follow you in a changed way. But you don't leave it to us to do all the changing. You're so gracious. You keep coming to us and helping us with that change. God, I just want to lay before you this morning our children. I want to lay before you their lives, how valuable they are to us. And I just pray for the next 6 months, God, that we could be people in this church who are praying for them, greeting them, and helping them to see that they are valuable, treasured members of our community. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. One last thing. We do have new updated home group cards. So if you are not in a home group and you'd like to get into one, grab one of these. Matthew, do we have some at the back? We got them. And there's one other thing as well. If the things that I mentioned to you this morning about volunteering don't resonate with you, there's a yellow card. Could we just make sure that we have them at that back door over there? And fill this out this morning. Do not take it home. Because we know what happens if you take it home, it stays at home. So fill it out this morning, and we have a box on our table right in the middle of the hallway here. You can pop it in there, okay? Thank you so much for coming. See you next week.